You're listening to an East Point Church podcast. East Point Church gathers to make much of Jesus Christ by knowing Him and making Him known. For more information on East Point Church, please visit our website at epcmwc.org.
I can't really hear out of this side of my ear or my head, I guess, because this ear doesn't really have a side. So if this side says amen a bunch, you'll have to yell it loud because I can't hear it. I am so glad to be here today. I'm so excited to be able to be here to celebrate Jesus with you. That's what we're here to do, right? We're here to celebrate Jesus, to celebrate His goodness, His truth, celebrate all things about Him. I love to be here and to sing the songs that we sing with you. I don't sing well, but I love to sing them with you because it's like, it's the culmination and it's the proclamation of our heart, right? We're begging and we're asking for Jesus to come. Jesus, this world needs you. We need you. We are hurting. We are broken. We are not put together, regardless of how we look, right? As Cody alluded to a few weeks ago, we are not held together well only by Him, right? And this is tough, man. Life is tough. It's difficult and it's hard. But because of Jesus, we have hope, right? Because of Jesus, we have power. And I think that that is an incredible place to be at today. Life is difficult, and it would be so unbearable without the hope of Jesus. It would be unbearable without the hope of Jesus. So we're here today, and we're getting close to Christmas time, and we started celebrating Advent last week, right? Talking about the coming of Jesus. And Chris spoke about Jesus being the wonderful counselor, right? Anybody remember that? A couple of people. Only like two hands went up. So Chris remembers it. He was here. Jesus is our wonderful counselor. Well, today we're going to move a little bit further into that verse in Isaiah, if you want to go ahead and turn there. And we're going to talk about Jesus being our mighty God. I think that it's just an awesome declaration of who He is. And we're going to really jump into that in a moment. But I want you to think with me, and we're going to take a real big detour here, and we're going to talk about kind of like nicknames, okay? This isn't a bad detour, but this is just a detour, right? So this verse that we're reading, that we're talking about the coming of Jesus, we've got some descriptive words or some nicknames, if you will, of who Jesus is, right? Does anybody in this room have any kind of nickname that you would be willing to share?
My sister's called me Bubs.
Bubs. That's a good nickname. It's a descriptive word, right? You're a brother, right?
Boo.
Boo. That's a good one. I like that one.
Mills.
That's a good one. I've heard that one before. Yeah. KK. Anybody else? Mom, the best one in the house, Mom. We've all used that one at some point in our life, right? That's a good one.
My nickname is AJ.
AJ, that's a good nickname. He goes by that. When I was a kid, everybody just called me Sweet, right? It's my last name. Wasn't really a nickname, but that's the name I heard all the time. I got yelled at a lot as an athlete. Sweet, what are you doing? You know, just goofiness like that. Things of that nature. But There's a lot of nicknames that I kind of found that I kind of like of people that I've looked at in my life. And if I say them, some of you will think of this person, but some of you may not. So I'm just going to say a couple, and I want to hear what you think. Okay. So there's a guy, and his nickname was just the greatest. The greatest. Muhammad Ali, right there, one person. The greatest, right? That was his nickname. How cool of a nickname is that? Like, you're walking around and everybody's like, that's the greatest right there. That is a cool nickname to wear on your back, right? Some of you know Muhammad Ali, all right? What about Big Poppy? Anybody ever heard that? Big Poppy? A couple of people, David Ortiz, right? This is one of my favorite. And I hope my family knows this one, but the Wizard. Anybody know who the Wizard is? Not Gandalf. Not Gandalf. The Wizard. Ozzie Smith. the wizard, Ozzie Smith. These are not all going to be sports. What about the king of pop? Anybody? Michael Jackson, right? What about the king of rock? Elvis Presley, right? Okay, there's a few. Sorry, I'm kind of a sports guy, so what about Honest Abe? Abe Lincoln, right? Like there's nicknames for people all throughout this earth, right? And the good thing, or hopefully the good thing about a nickname, is that it should be somewhat descriptive of what you do, right? It's kind of a declaration of the things that you have done. Here's one that's terrible, Tiger, anybody? Tiger? Tiger Woods, that's not his real name, if you didn't know that. His real name is Eldrick. But Tiger Woods, I would go by Tiger also. What about Hammerin? Anybody? Hammerin Hank Aaron? No? Yeah? A couple of people? I'm losing Tony here, I think, a lot here, because I'm all sports. There are a couple. You got Big Baby, Glenn Big Baby Davis. A couple of people? Yeah. I'm really trying to engage this group up here. So if I'm losing you, I apologize. There's a guy, I kind of like this one. Two of them. The Flying Tomato. Anybody ever heard of that guy? Winter Olympics. Think Winter Olympics. Sean White? Snowboarder, right? Okay. This is, I think, one of my all-time favorite. And his nickname was The Answer. Who was it? Allen Iverson. That is a cool nickname right there. Like, we are in a world of hurt. We are struggling. We have no clue what to do. The Answer, right? I mean, how cool of a nickname is that to wear on your back? I think that would be pretty slick, okay? So we call people by names all the time, right? We call people by nicknames that we've learned. We call people nicknames by, like, things that they've earned in life, right? Like, a doctor might be called Doc, right? Anybody? So there are different nicknames. In our house, we like to refer to letters that you've earned. So, like, my wife has earned a lot of letters, right? She's got her undergrad. She's got her master's degree. She's got nursing certificates, things like that. So we have letters by our name, right? Hers, like ARNP, Advanced Registered Nurse Practitioner, those type things. So we have letters that we attach to our name. Anybody in here have a letter? No? Nobody else has a letter. Okay, well, forgive me. So Chris may be Rev, right? We may use those letters to describe him. So you can use that if you want with him. He really likes that. In life, there are so many descriptive words to call people out for who and what they are. But when we read these verses in Isaiah, I think it is really cool that we can see some of the attributes of God, right? There's just four names here, and this is by no means an exhaustive list of everything that he is, right? This doesn't sum up everything that he is, but this is a pretty good start, right? He is our wonderful counselor. He is the mighty God. The mighty God. Just wrap your head around that for a minute, okay? We're not just talking about, like, Muhammad Ali is the greatest. We're not talking about Allen Iverson is the answer. We're not talking about Big Poppy or Bubs. We're not talking about Mom. We're talking about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The mighty God. That is pretty incredible to have said about you. So let's read this verse again. In Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. And this is a prophecy about Jesus coming. And this is what it says. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. God is good. He is our Wonderful Counselor. He is our Mighty God. He is our Everlasting Father, and he is our Prince of Peace. Pray with me real quick, if you would. Jesus, we thank you so much for this day that you've given us to come here and to celebrate you. God, as your believers, as your followers, as your children, We beg for you to come back to this earth. Come back and make things right in this world. But God, until you are here, we pray that we would be your megaphone for who you are. God, we pray that we would scream and shout about how great and how good and how mighty you are. God, you do great things. Not us, not East Point, God, you do great things. Change who we are and change what we do and change the words that come out of our mouth for your kingdom's sake. We love you and we thank you. It's your name we pray. Amen. I mean, God is so good to us, right? He is so good to us. And as I was reading, Chris asked me to preach this week. And as I was reading and he said, okay, you're going to have this one, Mighty God. It's kind of like, how do you describe that? What else do you say other than He is our mighty God? So it'd be strange if we all just like stood up and started shouting that, right? That would be a little strange, but God is the mighty God. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. And whenever you read throughout Scripture, whenever you read anywhere in the Bible when it's describing Jesus, there is this incredible truth that shows that even though he was a man that came to this earth, that he was still fully God, right? It's always there. It is always there in Scripture. And so we are here, and I'm thinking back, like, if I was in this time and Isaiah was speaking and he was prophesying about this, would it be a little strange that he's talking about a baby coming that is the Wonderful Counselor? That is the Mighty God, that is the Everlasting Father, that is the Prince of Peace. Would that be strange to you? So has anybody in this room ever been around a baby? Ever in your life? Ever seen a baby? If you've been in this room before, you've been around babies, okay? They're here, right? So would we look at any of these babies and go, man, this is the Mighty God right here? How mind-blowing would that be if we were to see Jesus as a baby, right? How mind-blowing would it be to be holding this baby and go, this is the Wonderful Counselor. Let him listen to me and he's going to tell me all these incredible things about who I am in light of him. And it would be strange, right? It would be awkward. It would be different. But the greatness and the awesomeness about God is that he sent his son as a humble baby to come into this world to show his power of who he is. A baby that obviously can't do anything on his own, right? Can't feed himself, can't take care of himself, can't protect himself, can't keep himself warm. But this is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Mighty God. When you read this passage, sorry, this microphone's kind of bouncing around a little bit. There are all kinds of truths where we can follow into the New Testament and the Old Testament that are descriptive of who Jesus is. And we're going to touch into Hebrews in just a minute, Hebrews chapter 1. But before we get there, I just want to hit a couple of verses real quick that describe this God, this Jesus, this person. So in Titus 2, verse 13, this is what it says. Waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory, our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. So when this is being written here, it's not just like, and Jesus Christ is coming, but there's a description of him as being God, right? When he came into this earth, it wasn't like he was this different being. He was this almighty King coming to be in charge, right? And to take us and to take our place on the cross. The Mighty God. So whenever you're reading in the New Testament and you see these verses that say, like in Titus 2:13, where it says, our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, there's a reason that it says that, and it's to correlate and to show this thread of who Jesus is. That he's not this alternate being, that he is the same being that created everything in this world, right? Does anybody in this room know how big this world, this universe, this cosmos is? Anybody? I promise you, I am not the smartest guy in this room or girl by far. There are many people way more brilliant than I am. I'm not going to say their names up here that are in this room that have studied this type of stuff. And does anybody know? It's not knowable. Butch, is there a calculation or a formula that we can use to try to figure this out? Bigger than six. This cosmos is ridiculous, right? It is crazy. There's not just one small thing that we can hold out in our hand and say, this is everything, right? There is so much to this world that is begging and proclaiming about Jesus and God. And we get to be a part of it. But the goodness whenever we read Scripture is that He did come, right? The King of Kings came. The mighty God came. The guy that spoke and the earth was created came to this earth. Do you see how crazy that is? That should make us sit in our chairs and just be dumbfounded, right? We should be blown away at the fact of how awesome God is. He came to this earth. If you look in 2 Peter 1:1, here's another place where it describes this. It says, Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have attained a faith of equal standing with ours by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. There's this running thread of Him being our God and our Savior. So He's not just this big guy up in the sky that created everything, right? He is also personal with us in that He is our Savior, Jesus Christ. He reaches down and He offers us hope in Him. He offers us hope in who He is and what He is. And this is some of my favorite verses we're going to get to in Hebrews real quick. I'm going to touch in Hebrews because we've been studying the book of Hebrews, right? In chapter 1, here's what it says. Chapter 1, it says, long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed the heir of all things, through whom also He created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of His nature. Jesus, when He came to this earth, He wasn't just a separate being. He was the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and the mighty God of the earth that holds all things in existence in His hands. Jesus was here. And because of Him, we have hope. We can have hope for eternity, right? Does anybody in this world feel like they need hope? I need hope every day of my life, right? Every day. Life is difficult, like I said. Sometimes I'm frustrated with my family. My direct family, right? My immediate family, not my sister. Like, my immediate family, right? I would never be frustrated at my sister, right? We would never get in fights with our siblings. But, like, sometimes, If you're married in here, sometimes things are tough, right? You feel frustration or you feel anger or you feel these things coming on. And without Jesus Christ, without the mighty God, the King of Kings, all of that stuff would implode upon itself, right? Because He holds it all together, right? Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, the Son of God, holds all things together. The guy that is the radiance, the exact imprint of God that came to this earth. In verse 8 it says, but of the Son He says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. So of the Son, we're talking about Jesus, but His throne reigns forever and ever. He is the mighty God and the King of Kings. Verse 10 it says this about Jesus. We're describing Jesus here. It says, you, Lord, laid the foundation of the earth in the beginning, and the heavens are the work of your hands. Jesus Christ, this baby that was born, that came into this world with really no protection other than His parents, right? He came, the guy that laid the foundation of the world, was vulnerable, right? To the point of death on a cross, right? For us. How incredible is that to think of that hope? How awesome of a chance do we have to know this mighty God, this King of Kings? I'm going to go one last place in Scripture here. And I think that it's quite telling of who Jesus is. And it's descriptive of the mighty God. But in John chapter 1, a lot of you guys know this stuff, right? This is easy. I believe Chris has said that this is special to his wife's heart. This verse is right in here. Okay? But in John chapter 1, let's listen to what it describes of Jesus. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." Man, Jesus is good. Man, He is good to us. This world is dark and it is scary, but because of the light of Jesus Christ, we can have hope, right? You can continue on reading in that verse, and it is just incredible to read what John is proclaiming here about Jesus, right? He's talking about Jesus and he's saying how powerful and how amazing and how awesome He is, and how He's not even like in the same class, right? He's not even in the same grouping as Him, but He's descriptive of who He is and what He is. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. At the very outset of everything, Jesus was there. And yet He came as a child into this world for us, right? For us. Jesus has offered us so much goodness, so much hope. And I'm not going to ask for anybody to raise their hand on this part, but we all have fallen short of Him, right? Every one of us in this room sins, right? Every one of us falls short of His expectation. Not my expectation, not Chris's expectation, not your spouse's expectations, but God's expectation. His expectation for us is holiness. How do we reach that? How do we reach that expectation? Is there any way possible for me to get there? Is there any way possible that Josh Sweet, 2017, can reach that expectation of who Jesus is? Or who God is, that expectation of my life? No, the only way I can do it is through Jesus. My life does not measure up. And I don't want to upset anybody in this room, but your life does not measure up. Okay? Your life does not measure up to the expectation of God. Because He is the mighty God, right? He is the one that created the cosmos. He created all things in Him. We tell stories a lot. Those people that have preached in here, and I know Chris has shared a lot of like standing on a mountaintop and looking out just at God's beauty, right? And you're kind of blown away by that. I know Chris was in Colorado this last week, not Chris Roberts. And when you look out at those things, when you take a walk through the wilderness, when you see a pond, when you see a lake, when you catch a fish, when you see animals in this world, you can be blown away at how awesome and powerful and mighty God is, right? Anybody else in this room ever experienced anything like that? I love living in Oklahoma. I love Oklahoma. I love everything about it. I love how flat it is. I love how windy it is. I love how it's brutally cold for 3 days and then it's like 70 degrees the next day. I love every bit of it. I bicker about it, but I love it. I love it, right? I love to walk outside in the mornings, and whenever you see the sunrise coming up, some of you may not see this often because you may get up later than this, but that's okay. When you see the sunrise coming up and you see all these immaculate colors in the sky, right? Or at sunset, and it's just mind-boggling of how awesome God is, right? It puts me in my place of who I am and who, where all my troubles feel overwhelming to me. And I just feel like I'm closed in and this world is tough and it's difficult and I can't make it and I'm not going to do it. And I walk outside and I see that and I go, Josh, this is so much bigger than you. This is so much bigger than you. And I look around and I see people hurting. And I see people crying, and I see people broken, needing hope, and the only place they will find hope is where? Jesus Christ. The only place hope could come from. When you read in John 1:1 there's towards the end of it, this is my favorite verse in Scripture. This is my favorite stuff. And he points to Jesus as Jesus is walking up, and this is what he says. He says, "Behold." I don't know if he pointed at him, but that's what I do. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. I mean, there is power in that verse. There is power in that truth. And these people that experienced that, these people that were standing there when John was teaching, and all of a sudden Jesus is walking up and he goes, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. I like in my head, I feel like there's like this dramatic music because we watch a lot of movies in our generation, right? And there's all this crazy music and this orchestra's playing and it's just this huge finale and it just points at who Jesus Christ is. Everything about it is summed up in him, right? Did anybody else ever feel like that when you read about Jesus? When we sing these songs about Jesus, all of this stuff that's inside of us that we're celebrating and that we're proclaiming should bring us to our knees in awe of who he is. Jesus Christ is the mighty God. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. He's the Lamb of God. Takes away the sin of the world. Not just my sin. Not just your sin. But people all over this world for all ages to come. When you read in Scripture and you read in the Old Testament, what was all of their hope found in? They had a hope in the baby that was to come that was Jesus, right? That's why Isaiah is saying it this way. The people that lived at the time of Jesus, all of their hope was in him. Their faith was in him, right? We've been reading that in Hebrews. And us today, our hope is all in Jesus, in what he did for us long ago on a cross, right? But it doesn't end, right? Doesn't end on the cross. Jesus Christ rose from the dead and he sits at the right hand of God. He is our prize. And he is waiting for us to love him and to run after him. He is begging for us to run after him. This isn't just any man. This isn't just a man. This is the King of Kings. The mighty God is begging you to love him. He wants to be in a relationship with you. Jesus is so good and he offers us so much. And I hope and I pray that at this time of year, again, I don't want to focus just on the consumerism of our world, but at this time of year, when we're so transfixed on things that really have nothing to do with God, I hope that we can look beyond that and see Jesus as the King of Kings, as the mighty God, as the Lord of Lords, right? Anybody with me on that? Jesus offers us hope. So my hope and my prayer is today that we would break ourselves down and put ourselves to the side and only focus on him, right? Maybe in your life, maybe you've never done that before. Maybe in your household, maybe you've never done that before. Maybe at this time of year, you've never intentionally sat down and gone, we are going to be a family that celebrates and proclaims Jesus throughout this time of year. Maybe this is the year that that happens. It should be. If Jesus is the mighty God, this is the year that that should happen. You as a parent, well, forget that. Not even as a parent. You as a believer in God, you should be the one leading that charge. No matter how old you are. In your family, you lead the charge to celebrate Jesus as the King of Kings and the mighty God. Right? Won't you stand with me? Let's pray.